Minutes ago, we'll be studying from Matthew 11. Good to see you folks tonight. I don't know if there's anybody else. It feels like it's like 8 o'clock. I'm not used to this time change and the darkness and everything else. But good to be together tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. Was a little bit worse than I thought on the way here, but you braved it, and appreciate you getting here this evening. So we will try to limit our time in this lesson to less than an hour so that you can get on the road here pretty soon. So, all right, I got the go-ahead now for 59 minutes. All right. On Wednesday night, we've been studying a little bit from the Sermon on the Mount. Brother Terry's been teaching us from that book and from that great sermon of the Lord that we find there in that context. Daniel, I'm not getting anything here. Where there are great blessings, especially as we begin there in Matthew, in chapters 5 through 7, the Beatitudes that we see that Jesus pronounces there and teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. Those are blessings. Those are things that He gives and benefits that are given to those that would live and have a certain kind of conduct, that would conduct themselves in a certain way, in a godly way, in a righteous way, and that there would be great benefits of that. And He shows us that in Matthew chapter 5 as He delivers that information to us. And we ought to model our lives around that desire to be those kind of people, knowing that there are great blessings that come as a result of that. But there's always the other side of the coin. And while that is one sermon that Jesus preached, there are a lot of others in which he kind of shows us the other side of the coin a little bit. And that's what I want for us to look at for a few minutes tonight. And I'm going to call these the woe attitudes, because that's the way He usually begins this alternative side of the Beatitudes. If you could say the inverse or the reverse of what those Beatitudes normally would be, we see that in some other sermons that Jesus preached, some other things that He said in different contexts. And so, much like the Israelites, who on Mount Gerizim, you remember, received those blessings, that if you do this, that the Lord will bless you. On another mountain, Mount Ebal, there were cursings. And so Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, preached some wonderful beatitudes. But on another mount, so to speak, He also speaks some great curses as well. Some things that are more difficult to hear, and some negative woes that would come as a result of rejecting Him. We see there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21 that those who refuse to have faith, that there are some great consequences to that, that there are these woes that Jesus pronounces. And here in Matthew 11 and verse 21, in the passage that Charles read twice today. Did a great job both times. Appreciate him reading that for us. Woe to you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago with sackcloth and ashes. A woe is a primary expression of grief. It is to say, alas, you know, this is such a shame if this be the case. And for these folks, that was certainly a shock to them, because what the Lord is saying is, you know, even Gentile people, even in cities like Tyre and Sidon, which they would not have considered for them places of great religion, of people that were concerned about God, He said, you know, if those things that had been shown to you had been shown to them, they would have done something about it. They would have responded. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes, which kind of suggests a great degree of change. And so he gives them this pronouncing of woe upon them for failing to do that. Remember that Assyria repented at the preaching of Jonah, while Jerusalem resisted the tears of Jeremiah. And what a shame that that was the case. And so, you know, there is no happiness or hope without Christ. And here are some that clearly saw that. They saw the power of the Lord, but yet they rejected Him. And what a shame that that is, that to see those things, experience those things, and know those things that the Lord delivers, and then to turn away from that. I've had Bible studies like that, where somebody will read a passage, and you will ask them to read that passage. Now, what does that passage mean? And they exegete that passage very well, and they understand it. And then they say something like, but I just can't do that. Well, I can see that the Bible says that, but I just can't bring myself to do that. Whether that's for their family's sake or a church that they're a part of or something along that line, they just turn away from that. And so that's the idea here in Matthew chapter 11. You know, those things were evident, they were seen, and yet these folks turned away. And the Lord is grieved by that. And what a shame that is. And so we see in Luke chapter 6, another example of this. Luke chapter 6 and verses 24 through 26. Luke chapter 6 and verse 24 through 26. And we'll put this on the screen as well. What about folks that are just happy and content with this world? Oh, this is good enough for me. And I'm content and I'm satisfied with just what this world can offer me. And Jesus says, woe to you. If that's the attitude that you have, if you think that this world is good enough for you and for what I intend for you, you've missed it. And so he's very serious about that over in Luke 6 and verse 24. He says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. And woe to you who laugh now. You know, you're having a good time now. He says, but for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Consolation. What does it mean to have consolation? When I think of that word in this particular context, I think of like a game show. And someone that receives the consolation prize. What does that mean? If someone receives the consolation prize, it means they didn't get the big thing. They didn't win that number one, that great thing that they were supposed to have access to or could have received. They didn't get that. And so here's something as a parting gift for you. Somebody that considers this world to be their all and end all of all things is just receiving a consolation. Because they're not getting the big thing. They're not receiving that gift of eternal life, what God intended for them to receive. And oftentimes there is a reversal of fortune at one's death. Verse 25, it reminds me of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, here's one that's poor in life, but they have the Lord God. And in the end, they'll receive riches and their circumstances will be changed. But Jesus says, woe to you if you think that this world is what I've intended for you for forever. Because that is not the case. And that is just a consolation. If you have it good now, And maybe you have some things, verse 24, that others don't have. Well, that's your consolation, but that's not what I ever intended for you. There's more than that. Something much, much greater than that. Look over at Matthew 6 and verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. If we lose this pilgrim attitude that we ought to have, and if we make this world our strong fortress, we are doomed. And pride goes before a fall. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he goes on to mention some things in verse 24. You know, you can't be of divided attention when it comes to the Lord and your service to Him. Woe to you if you think that you can do that. If men speak well of you, that is, if you have no enemies in this world. And some people are happy with this world because they are well-liked and they are well-received in that. But again, woe to us if we have such an affinity for the compliments and the people of this world that we forget that. We have missed it. So that's another one of those woes that Jesus speaks to us. And then there are those, look at Luke 11 and verse 43, who just love to take control. Here's these listing of Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and if you could just assemble, I had 10 of them. I whittled it down. But you know, Jesus so often, you know, in contrast to those Beatitudes, gives us these woes. And another one is found in Luke 11 and verse 43. And he does this a lot of times with the Pharisees. You look at Matthew 23 and you're reminded of that over in that chapter. But he says there in Luke 11 and verse 43, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces." They were seeking for that. They were looking for that. Those that wanted to be held in high esteem and were pushing themselves to the top. Who wanted the best seat. And the best seat might indicate that they would be heard the most. We have to be careful of that kind of thing. Jesus pronounces woes on individuals. And we think of a place like 3 John 9 through 11. Of someone that would just take control. That would supersede their rightful place. And the Lord says, "Woe to you." Now, this is not the attitude that we ought to have. And that's displayed over here in 3 John. "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." Now, here's an attitude of someone that desires preeminence. He wants to be heard. He wants control. And I've seen churches of our Lord be greatly affected and for schisms to take place and divisions to take place because people had just that kind of attitude. And the Lord would say, "Woe to you if that's the kind of person that you are. Your voice is not any more important than anyone else's." And remember that this statement here in 3 John is coming from one who learned the lesson very well. Remember what his mother did? I think John would be one that would be very appropriate to speak about this kind of thing. When his mother asked that he and his brother would have an exalted place in the kingdom and would be number one and number two next to the Lord. You know, that was a desire that he had or that she had and certainly that they had. Look at Matthew chapter 20 and verses 26 and 27. And on the heels of that occasion, Jesus says, over here in Matthew 20 and verse 26. Matthew 20 and verse 26. "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." I'm sure that rang in John and James' ears for the rest of their lives. It's about me being a servant, not about me taking over, not about me taking control, not about it, me making sure that my opinion is heard every single time that there's a question. And sometimes we may slip into that idea. We need to maintain a proper attitude and understand that leadership is not about wresting control and taking over in that way. Jesus, in that case, would say, "Woe to you for that attitude." Then there are other things that we think of. Those who use religion for selfish purposes. Jude 1 and verse 11, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah." In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul speaks of our treatment of the will of God. How do we approach that? And that needs to be approached, he says, in sincerity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, "For we are not as are so many." And let me tell you, that's still just as true today as it ever was. "We are not as so many peddling the Word of God." That seems to me to be the religious context of our age. The Word of God is being peddled. Empires are being created because of that attitude. And big buildings and pridefulness are taking over as a result of that attitude. We are not peddling the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. You know, we see televangelists, we see preachers with that kind of attitude, we see politicians with that kind of attitude peddling the Word of God. Whenever it's convenient for someone, they somewhat peddle the Word of God. And that ought not to ever be our approach. The Lord would say, "Woe to you," if that is the case. And then again, in Matthew 23 and verse 14, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses." What is that? Taking advantage of them. Taking advantage of other people. And especially someone that's vulnerable. "And for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." Now, I don't know what that means in practical terms. But the Lord says that's something that I'm going to come down hard on. You know, there's more to that. You doing that kind of thing and taking advantage in that kind of way. But we need to be careful that we not treat religion for selfish purposes in any way. "Woe to you," Jesus says. And then in Matthew 23 and verse 13 and 15, Jesus pronounces woes on those who will affect the souls of other people by the way they conduct themselves. Now, this scares me to death. And it puts on me the onus and the weight of recognition that the things that I do, the way that I live my life, the things that I say, if that affects someone else and causes them to stumble and causes them to turn from the Lord, what a great and heavy burden that is. And so I must be careful of that. Matthew 23 and verse 13. He says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Now, can you imagine such a thing, that because of my approach and my hard-heartedness and my callousness and coldness, that not only am I preventing myself from going in, that I'm keeping other people from going into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus comes down on those Pharisees, and again, two verses later, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Look over at Luke and chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. What made the Pharisees reach such a level of discouragement in the eyes of the Lord was that their hypocrisy and their self-centeredness oftentimes bore other people along with them. And their false teaching bore other people along with them. Their hypocritical lives that they lived affected other people. And so he says here in Luke 11 and verse 46, "Woe to you lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." You know, always telling someone else what to do and never applying that to oneself. You've got to do this and this and this when they're not lifting their little finger to do one thing. And then verse 52, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." May God help us not to be a hindrance to others because of the way that we live or the things that we say. And that should cause us to reflect upon our own lives and the way that we live and walk and the things that we do in this life. The things that we teach. May we teach the truth in its fullness and the whole counsel of God as a congregation of God's people. That's what we're responsible to do. And to see to it that is done. And what a shame that sometimes we hang a millstone around the neck of another disciple because of our attitude, causing them to drown. You know, I've seen Christians in some places treat each other so poorly and for people to become so discouraged as if they are just weighed down by the attitude of their own family in Christ. That ought to never be the case, that we conduct ourselves in that way. But we ought to edify rather than tear down and encourage rather than discourage. And God help us not to contribute to the downfall of another. Matthew 18 and verse 7 says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." We need to remember that in our conduct. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 20 and 21. We ought to keep the souls of other people in our minds. And we need to apply this to those closest to us, our families, our brethren in Christ, to have a humility and a concern for people's souls. Romans 14, 20. "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." And what that says there in general terms is think about other people. Think about the effect that you have on other people. And let's apply that in our most immediate context, in our family here, and those that we have, our circle of influence, and with whom we have to do. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, gives us some wonderful blessings to consider. But as we said, He preaches other sermons, and in some of those sermons, He's very direct. He pronounces woes on those that will not conduct themselves in a godly and righteous manner. And so speaks from Mount Ebal, so to speak, on other occasions. May we listen to those words as well. Perhaps there's someone here tonight that would receive the blessings of Jesus Christ. Wonderful blessings. Wonderful things we have to look forward to. But we also need to heed the warnings. We also need to pay attention to those woe attitudes as well. Those of the other side of that coin. And be careful that we not fall into that temptation. Maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to make their life right with the Lord. Whatever you need to do that. We encourage you to respond to the gospel. Won't you come while we stand?